Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi guys, welcome to the show. The show that's called Perfect Stranglers. My name is Kylie.
And I'm Bree. And we're the Perfect Stranglers.
We are. Because we're fucking perfect. I like that song by Pink. I've gotten into like a Pink phase.
Uh-huh.
I love Pink. I feel like she's highly under... Okay. Pink and Kelly Clarkson are highly underrated.
Yes. I agree.
Absolutely. 100. Nobody talks about them when we talk about like the divas or really strong voices or anything. Mm-hmm. And
you know what, though?
They should be talked about.
They've kind of stepped back to be mothers, and I respect that.
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson has her talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Pink has definitely stepped back as well. She had, okay, so Pink has a documentary on Amazon Prime that came out, I want to say earlier this year or late last year, that I absolutely love. It's all about a tour that she did to get to, I think she performed at Glastonbury or some giant stadium over in the UK. It's just like a really great, it's a really great documentary. Nice. I love it. I love her. She makes me want to cut my hair all the time, and I have to resist every time.
You know what?
I do. I just like...
I wonder if she's ever really had long hair. I've only...
Okay, so she has. The longest I've seen her natural hair, I think, was like... ear slash like shoulder length, but there are, she did a photo shoot where she had definite extensions or a wig on, and I think it was a mohawk, and it was pretty long.
That's cool.
Yeah, she is so built for short hair, and I feel like, sure, we talked about this, like sometimes you just don't have the body for the haircut you want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the body for short hair. I just don't. It's not a thing. But I want to be able to have short hair. But I'm just not built for... I'm a tall bitch. I'm 5'9". Just over 5'9". Like, mm-hmm. It's not a thing for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just love her. I love her so much.
Mm-hmm. She's cool. She's written a lot of other songs for other people.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sia doesn't get enough recognition as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's written a lot of songs for other people. And I love how her voice just, like, cracks.
Yeah.
Like, she's a lot of, like, cracks in her voice that I really, really like. Yeah. So that's my thought on music for today. Kylie's Music Corner. Hey, can you see all the boxes in my background?
I can. They're kind of, you got a blurry filter thing to where like you can't see your background so well. But yeah.
I have packed. So you guys, let me just tell you, I am a single mom, single woman, my own fucking income, and I bought my own goddamn house without a single stitch of help.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your applause.
Very proud.
God damn it. Because I've earned it. And not a lot of people can say that, especially this time of, like, life.
Right.
But let me just tell you, packing can fuck off.
Yeah.
I hate packing with every fiber of my being. I have packed my living room, dining room, and kitchen of all of the things that are not necessities, and I've just left the necessities, like some pots and pans, some cutlery,
mm-hmm.
tin foil for my air fryer, left my air fryer out, just like bits and pieces, obviously my couch and a couple blankets.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've packed nothing.
Yeah.
On top of moving my plants, like, it's so much.
Yeah, I'll bet. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I have to go to roller derby on Wednesday night and get some boxes because a lot of the girls are going to give me some boxes, but I did not think of it. It's not that I didn't think of it. I just, you don't know how much you have until you have to pack it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
You get to the point where you just like throw things in a box. Like, I literally, last time I moved, I had a box that was labeled a bunch of shit I didn't sort.
I love it. I love it. I was really good yesterday. Yesterday was a Saturday. I was really good packing and shit and like labeling everything. And of course, I'm using boxes that other people have used. So I have to like, I'm using green painter's tape to put tape over what they wrote.
Yeah.
So that my movers know. Because of course, I have to hire movers because I don't have family here that can help or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Mama's stressed. Tell me a story to unstress me, Brie. Before we do that, let's do housework.
Okay.
I'll do housework.
Okay.
Hi, Stranglers. Hi. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening to us every week, every Thursday. We know that, or you know that we love and appreciate your support. We love you so much. If you want to show your love to us, please go ahead and follow us on Facebook at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at @perfect_stranglers. Twitter is at @perfstranglers. Also, it would be super great if you could subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen and hit that little notification button so that you get a notification every time a new episode drops, which is, by the way, every single Thursday. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating and go ahead and leave a review. Reviews really help us get noticed by fellow listeners who also really enjoy the true crime genre or the cryptid genre or what have you. If you're listening on Spotify, you can now give us 5-star ratings as well, so go ahead and do that. If you have a really cool story or you just want to tell us hi and how much you adore us, because we, you know, love an ego boost. If you want to tell us all the things, feel free and contact us. The email address is contact@perfectstranglers.com. Check out our website, www.perfectstranglers.com. I'm done pimping us out like the rent is due tonight. Brie, tell me a story.
Okay, well, normally our stories are not good for stress. This one, I don't know. I feel like this one's a little more lighthearted, though. And nobody gets hurt.
I need a lighthearted.
Yeah.
Good. I love it.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Bigfoot today. Just a little Bigfoot 101, because that's a real big subject and lots of different caveats in that. So, just going to give you a general overview. So, over the last 90 years, there have been more than 3,300 Bigfoot sightings in the U.S. and Canada alone.
You say 4,400?
3,300. 3,300.
Okay.
In the last 90 years. Okay. More than that, actually. And the legend of Bigfoot really entered pop culture in 1958 when a Northern California tractor operator found a 16-inch man-like footprint in the mud, and it created a media sensation. But the legend of the Sasquatch, or Bigfoot, or the Yeti, has been around for centuries, and every continent has their own version of a large wild ape man. And lots of indigenous tribes have folklore about a giant, or a race of giants, or whatever. In North America, most Bigfoot sightings are in the Pacific Northwest, Northern California, Oregon, Washington, but there have also been many Bigfoot sightings in the South, Midwest, and even the East Coast. A possible reason for the concentration of Bigfoot sightings in the Pacific Northwest may be due to the land bridge that theoretically used to exist between Asia and North America. Let me explain. So, there was a real creature that lived in Southeast Asia about 2.6 million to 11,000 years ago. It was called the Gigantopithecus. So if you've ever taken an anthropology class, you may be familiar with this species.
That sounds like one fucking hell of a wrestler name.
Gigantopithecus.
Yes.
If
I was a guy, I would name my dick that.
Okay.
Absolutely. No questions asked. Absolutely.
Okay. So, this Gigantopithecus and our own species, Homo sapiens, did exist at the same time in history. So, anyways, these Gigantopithecus were about 9 feet tall and 600 pounds.
I'm sorry, I can't. I can't believe that's a real thing.
Oh, no, it's real. There's a skeleton of it that they dug up.
I can't. I don't know why it's so funny to me, but it is. But okay. I have to get my giggles out. Whew, okay, I think I'm ready.
Okay, so the theory is how these creatures got from Asia to Pacific Northwest, where then they probably spread out, was through this land bridge. I'm sure by now that you realize I'm inferring that some people think that the Gigantopithecus might be Bigfoot. Or a species mm-hmm. that is related to Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. So, in California, on the Tule River Indian Reserve is one of the oldest physical records of the legend of Bigfoot. It's in a cave on the reserve. There is a pictogram depicting what the tribe called Hairy Man, who is painted life-size at 8 foot tall in the cave. The cave paintings are hard to date, but they are estimated to be between 500 to 1,000 years old. The first known photograph of the cave painting was from the 1880s, and it was really old back then, too. So, I mean, I don't know how they exactly do that, dating and stuff like that. Yeah. If they're dating the paint that's on there. I don't know, but yeah. With the person who, I can't remember which show I was watching that said it, but it was like a researcher, and they said it's very difficult to date for some reason. So the painting in this cave is actually pretty cool. It shows a family of hairy giant people. There is a big hairy man with tears on his face because he's sad that the humans are scared of him. That's what their legend is, with the story, why he's painted like that.
That's so sweet.
I know. Isn't it cute? And also, it features, yeah. It's a whole family of Bigfoots, actually. It features also a smaller female hairy giant and a baby hairy giant.
Oh, yeah. That's adorable.
I know. So, like I touched on before, there are seemingly lots of different names for what seems to be the same creature. There's even regional variations. For example, Bigfoot in the southeastern United States is called a skunk ape. Most notably in Florida, in the Everglades, it's
okay.
Legend that there's a skunk ape that lives in the Florida Everglades. But the skunk ape is also part of Georgia and Alabama folklore as well, with its roots possibly in the native Seminole culture, which describes a physically strong and foul-smelling elusive creature called Esti Kapkaki, which roughly translates to cannibal giant.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the classical Bigfoot description is a large, muscular, ape-like creature that's covered in hair, black hair, dark brown, or dark reddish auburn hair, and is usually described as 6 to 9 feet tall, and is a bipedal animal, and lots of the time with Bigfoot sightings, the smell is something that people comment on. Sasquatches apparently stink like skunks and rotten eggs and decay. One Reddit user who claims to have experienced the Bigfoot stink while hiking described it as smelling like horse shit or a distinct digested plants and gland secretions odor.
Ew. That's very specific.
That sounds really gross.
That's disgusting. That's very specific and disgusting.
Yeah. So in Asia, where this species may have originated from, there are even a few variations in Asia. So there is the Almas of Mongolian folklore, which is said to inhabit the mountains of Western Mongolia. This description of the Almas is a bipedal animal covered in black hair, and it has enormous claws and was very strong. China also has their own take on the Bigfoot, which is called the Yeren. It's spelled Y-E-R-E-N. Yeren? I don't know.
We're going to say Yeren because Yeren is... Yeren.
It's P.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So this creature, the Yeren, lives in remote mountainous regions of China and is said to stand over 6 feet tall, have long arms that hang down to their knees, and lost my place. They also walk upright, and they are covered in hair, and they supposedly laugh when encountering a human.
Oh, well, that's cute.
I know. It sounds cute. It sounds kind of cute.
Yeah.
So it does sound kind of cute. And that is why maybe the China government, or I don't know, maybe it wasn't the China government. It was some philanthropists or something, that they used the Yeren as a little mascot of sorts, an artistic icon of nature and environmental issues in China.
So cute. Yeah. See, China makes everything cute.
I know, right?
I love it.
So sightings of these hairy creatures have been consistent in China since 340 BC. So that's a long ass time.
That's a long ass time.
Yeah. Also in Asia is your classic Yeti or abominable snowman, as they're sometimes called,
mm-hmm.
which is purported to live in the Himalayan mountain range of Tibet. The Yeti is a large bipedal ape-like creature that is covered in gray, brown, or white hair. And I always think of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the abominable snowman, yep. And he's just mean because he's got a toothache and he needs his tooth taken out by Herbie the elf.
Yep. Yeah, it's cute.
So, moving right along to a different continent, Australia has their own version of Bigfoot as well. The Yowie is a creature that, according to Aboriginal tradition, lives in the outback, stands upright, and is between 7 feet and 12 feet tall, and is covered in hair.
Josh Gates investigated that.
The Yowie? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many other names for Bigfoot, Bigfoot-like creature, and those were just the, you know, more well-known ones. Different native tribes have different names in all their different languages and things like that. There's over 500 names for the Bigfoot.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now I want to circle back around and talk about the American Sasquatch specifically and the main pieces of evidence that we have. There are footprints cast in plaster of Paris. There's video footage, the Freeman video footage from 1994 recorded in the Blue Mountains of Washington. And the most famous footage, which is the Patterson-Gimlin footage from 1967 in Northern California. And there's also various hair samples that have been analyzed. All of the hair samples that have been analyzed have been that of human or other known animals, like bear. So nothing real helpful there. Although Bigfoot enthusiast would tell you that, maybe it has human DNA because we're so closely related to them or something like that. That's how they kind of justify that.
Hate that for them.
Yeah, that's not good enough for me.
Nope.
So
I don't buy it.
The footprints are compelling, but they could easily be faked. Also, for a while there, they made, like, prank Bigfoot tracks. Like, you could buy it, and then you would, like, stamp out this Bigfoot track in mud in somebody's backyard or something as a joke.
I remember those.
Oh, my God.
I remember those.
So, also, okay, so the video footage, this 1967 Patterson-Gimlin footage, is considered to be the best video evidence that we have. And its authenticity has been scrutinized and researched. But here's what I know about it. So it was filmed by Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin in October of 1967 on horseback. And that's why parts of the footage are so shaky, because they're literally filming from the top of a horse. And so this footage has been analyzed with modern equipment, and many who have picked it apart and researched it have found that the way that the creature is walking is difficult and probably impossible for a human to replicate. And people who have analyzed the creature's movements, like the facial movements, they also look to, like, the fur for signs of, like, a costume. They all agree that if it is a costume, it's extremely detailed and highly uncommon to be able to move like that. The mouth of the creature moves along with other facial muscles, which is very hard for a mask to do, especially in 1967. I'm sure we've all seen shitty special effects from, like, creature features and from the 60s. And so I can't imagine two ranchers from rural Northern California, like, paying to have this, like, flawless Bigfoot suit created. The owner of a magazine called the National Wildlife Magazine asked Roger Patterson to take a polygraph test in regards to the footage that he shot, and he agreed, and he passed with flying colors. So, I mean, not admissible in court, but there's at least some credibility to it.
At least something,
Yeah, it's something. They never really, like, another thing that I feel adds a little bit of credence to it is that these two guys that recorded this, they never, like, really try to, like, put themselves out there and, like, be, like, super, like, they didn't, this was not a fame, like, attempt. Like, they wanted, like, they were interviewed a couple times, but, like, they wanted their, like, privacy, and they kind of, like, kept to themselves. They weren't like, look at me, I'm trying to make money off of this, this is my footage and whatever. So I think that kind of helps their case too. The Freeman footage from 1994 is considered to be the most compelling piece of video of an alleged Sasquatch since the Patterson-Gimlin footage. I watched it. I watched both of them. I watched the 1967. I watched the 1994. And I don't find it to be that compelling, personally. Reason being, Paul Freeman, the guy who filmed it, was a Forest Service employee, and he spent a lot of time in the forest. He was also a Bigfoot enthusiast. So
he didn't... See, that's where they get you.
Yeah. Also, like, in the video, he didn't sound surprised enough for me. Like...
Okay.
In the video, he's like, oh, there he goes. It's not like, oh my God.
If I saw Bigfoot, I'd be freaking the fuck
out.
Like,
he's not, like, trying to be quiet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh, there he goes. He's not like, yeah. Like, oh my God, there's Bigfoot there. You know?
I would imagine it, like, if I could picture seeing Bigfoot, it would be like I picture a teenage boy out hunting with his dad, seeing the biggest rack on a buck you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, look at that. You hear that? Okay, we got to get down. Be quiet. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the excitement that that would get, because a boy or girl or whoever's out hunting for the first time.
Exactly, because you don't want to scare it.
Yeah.
And you don't also want it coming after you.
And you can't believe you're seeing what you've, like, you're seeing the holy grail of what you're out there seeing. Like a boy or girl out there hunting for the first time with, you know, their parent, just like,
yeah,
oh my God, this is it. This is like shot. Our Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So yeah, that wasn't, that's, I don't think that's real. So he's filming some Bigfoot tracks near a creek and hears something, points his camera up and just happens to see this Bigfoot. And he goes, oh, there he goes. Just walking through the forest. So there are Bigfoot hunters all over the United States. There is one from Wisconsin that I follow on social media. He sometimes will spend Saturdays just sitting in a camping chair in the woods, just listening and watching. He also walks through and looks for like branches that have been broken off and stuff like I don't know, just stuff disturbed and whatever, looking for anything he can find.
Have you ever seen what a porcupine can do to a tree?
No.
Okay. When I drive up to get Everly, I've seen like this, it's in the country, and there is like a strip of trees that is obliterated. I didn't really understand what did it, because it literally looks like, it looks like Sonic the Hedgehog went by and just like run amok, is what it looks like. It's the weirdest breakage and shit I've ever seen. And I recently came across, I think it was on TikTok or something, of what a porcupine can do to a tree.
Oh, wow.
And I had no idea that they can destroy trees like they do. But you guys should Google porcupine, like, tree wreckage or porcupine pine destroying trees. It is the weirdest shit you've ever seen.
Yeah, I'll have to Google
it. I can't describe it. You would have to Google it after this.
That would be something else to see, I'll bet.
It's weird. It's weird.
So there's a lot of Bigfoot hunters all over the world. There is at least one group of 100% female Bigfoot researchers who do their work in the Pacific Northwest. They believe that Bigfoots will be more willing to show themselves to female humans because they may seem less threatening, especially because their voices are higher and more melodic than a male voice.
Okay.
They also believe that a woman's scent may lure Bigfoots out if they're curious. I don't know.
Okay. I could see that maybe a little bit.
They try to bait the Bigfoots by leaving out cut up apples, setting up speakers that play primate sounds, and they also they go and do this out on research camping trips, and the women will each go off in different directions, and they'll go hike. They will say poetry out loud. They'll sing out loud, do whatever in the forest alone. And then at dusk, all the women will converge back at their campsite in the hopes that one of them will be followed by a curious Bigfoot back to their camp. And then they can catch him on a trail cam or coming to eat the apples or, you know, something like that. So,
yeah,
super interesting. I would be scared to do that.
Yep.
Like, it's one thing, like, going camping, but, like, you're trying to attract a Bigfoot. That's a no for me, dog.
No, because they're going to ruin you.
Okay, so let's talk about some theories. Some of them are, of course, very out there. So, we heard the theory that possibly Bigfoot is a surviving Gigantopithecus or a missing link between Gigantopithecus and human, and that it may have migrated from Asia. So here's a new one for you. Some people theorize that A, Bigfoots are aliens, or, that's a thinker, or, and that's why we never find their den or whatever, is because they don't live here or something.
Beam up.
They're just visiting.
Yeah.
Or another alien related theory, is the ancient astronaut theory that aliens came to Earth and modified human DNA to make us what we are today. And that these aliens could have also created a species similar to humans, like the Bigfoot, that still remains on Earth today.
Okay, well,
yeah,
you know, that's out there.
Yeah.
I think Gigantopithecus is a little more on par with what I would believe.
Mm-hmm. So I,
but
personally, I don't feel
Skinwalker Ranch exists. So there's that.
Yeah. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying flat out that Bigfoots don't exist. I feel like it's probable.
Yeah.
I do have some questions, though.
There is more. This is my take. Before the season's done, I have to do an episode on mermaids, because I said in the very first episode, mermaids are fucking real. There is more. There is just as much evidence out there proving Bigfoot exists as there is evidence proving it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So you cannot tell me that Bigfoot does exist. Because when you say Bigfoot does exist, you're saying with just as much facts that it doesn't exist and vice versa. And that's the way I see it.
So
same with fucking mermaids.
Here's the questions I have. Where are the Bigfoot bones or carcasses? Do they bury their dead? If they do, why have none been unearthed? Why are there usually solitary prints, like footprints of Bigfoots? Like, how come there's not multiple Bigfoots at a time? If they're so solitary, how do they reproduce? Where are their poops?
Ooh, yeah.
You find bear poops, deer poops, all sorts of poops in the woods? Also, where are the baby Sasquatches? Why do we only see adult Sasquatches?
What if their poop looks just like a bear poop, and so maybe we just assume bear poop is Sasquatch poop, and we don't think anything of it?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Also, this is a little off color, but sometimes we're like that.
Welcome to it.
Bigfoots are so hairy, they probably have dingleberries.
This is totally on brand for us. Are you kidding me, Brie? They totally have fucking dingleberries. Are you kidding? They do.
That's probably why they stink so much.
No shit. But you know what? They're Bigfoot. They probably have opposable thumbs and stuff. They can clean each other off.
With leaves. Just don't pick a poison ivy.
That's right. Don't do that. You don't need swollen parts.
Oh, also, why hasn't anyone accidentally or on purpose ever shot a Sasquatch?
Right.
I don't know.
Especially,
you know?
Listen.
People go bear hunting.
You cannot tell me, America, there are more guns than humans in America. You cannot tell me these people out and about don't have a gun with them when they're fucking trouncing through the woods and a Bigfoot. You cannot tell. It's not like they're fucking nationally protected that I know of. You can't tell me these people don't have guns and aren't ready to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a good question. I could see someone thinking it's a bear and shoot it.
Yeah.
Or even an intruder on their land.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a trail cam and you come back the next day, then of course you're not going to shoot it because it was in a fucking trail cam.
Right. Right. And
yeah, man.
There, of all the trail cam footage, there hasn't been any of Bigfoot. Most of them, from the researchers that I encountered on my research of Bigfoot, their trail cams show a bunch of elks usually and some bears. Yeah. And that was in the Pacific Northwest. So but yeah, that's our little Bigfoot 101.
I like it. I like your style, Brie. I think they exist. I think your questions are valid. It really, I've never thought about why we haven't seen a carcass or bones or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't. Those are just questions that I have that I would need answered in order for me to, you know, be completely on board with them definitely existing. And I would want to...
Right, and I
don't know. I'd want to see more about the DNA side of it, all that, but...
Yeah. And I understand that, you know, a lot of these Bigfoot sightings are happening in we've said it on, maybe it was the Flatwoods Monster episode, maybe. Is that the last one we did? Yeah. We don't understand how truly large the United States and the Americas are, especially Northern America, where these are being found. Like, America, including Canada. You want to know what pisses people off? Mexicans are Americans because it's in Northern America.
Yeah. It's the continent of America.
I have found that that pisses people off. Canadians are Americans.
Yeah.
Brazilians are Americans because Southern America.
Right.
Anyway, I just like found that that pisses people off, and I like that that angers people.
Well, I don't think that, anyway. That our Tim Allen listener is on here anymore, so maybe we won't have anyone outraged.
No, oh, thank God. Bye, Tim Allen lady. She was really upset with us, and I enjoyed it. She just got so mad about Tim Allen. Like, what a guy. Why get mad over him?
Why are you going to vouch
get
for
mad
Tim?
Over someone who's fucking...
I know.
Get mad over someone who's relevant.
For real.
You know what I mean?
God.
I just don't get it. I'm going to hashtag Tim Allen this episode. Just I'm going to at him on this episode. Just see what happens. I'm going to do it.
Well, you never know. Maybe Tim Allen might have seen, have a Bigfoot experience. What if Tim Allen, what if you at him and he's like, let's clear the air, ladies. Let me come on your podcast.
Could you imagine? Fucking Tim Allen.
Maybe he's seen a Bigfoot in the Michigan wilderness.
God, I just feel like this would be his worst fucking nightmare, to be completely honest. This would be an absolute nightmare for him. Catastrophe. And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. But I just feel like the Americas are so big and there's so much wilderness that has been undiscovered. If there's so few Bigfoots, big feet in Bigfoot high in the in the Americas, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be hard to find a bone burial or a carcass or what have you.
Uh-huh. But why are they not extinct? Like, how do they find each other?
Where are they mating?
Right.
Yeah. And do female Bigfoots have big boobs? Do they have birthing hips?
Right.
I feel like we've only seen
because they're probably mammals.
Yeah. They're so close to females. I feel like they would need to have some good mammary glands to nurse the young.
Yeah.
How come we've always seen flat-chested? How come we haven't seen some tiggle bitties?
Also, it seems like it's a large creature. It seems like it would be like a predatory creature. It probably makes noises.
And we've never heard it.
And it probably is very loud, being as how big it is. Although, I don't know. Do rhinoceroses and hippos make loud noises? I don't know. I don't know what they...
Yeah, a hippo is pretty loud.
Okay. I just never heard one. So I was questioning if all big animals are loud.
A lot of grunting. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. I get it. Okay, well, Stranglers, we would love to hear your theories. And you know what? If you have a Bigfoot sighting, let us know. Send us your experience. Send us your tape. Send us whatever you have on Bigfoot. We would love to talk about it.
Yes.
And, yeah. Anything else, Brie?
Nope. That's all I got.
Okay. Perf. Ick Stranglers. I can't say perfect in my life without saying Stranglers after it. So I've resorted to saying perf.
Perf.
Which might piss people off more than me saying perfect Stranglers all the time. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Don't really give a fuck. So if you guys want to follow us on, I almost said Supernatural for some reason. If you guys want to follow us on social media, not Supernatural, Facebook is at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at Perfect_Stranglers. Twitter is at Perf Stranglers. Feel free and shoot us a line. Give us all of your weird Bigfoot stories or email us contact@perfectstranglers.com, and we will chit chat with you next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.